Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insight Hour, part of the many valuable services brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. So at this show, we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished mediums on a variety of topics related to, you know, spirituality, consciousness, the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, and I'm wearing a hat today because I got bad hair, so it's a hat day today. Anyways, I want to introduce Kathy Nadal. She's a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation. And her gift of spirit communication has been with her since she's been a little child of 9 years old. She's a psychic medium, clairvoyant, and she's trained at the Arthur Findlay School in England. She also leads guided meditations and helps students with their gifts to develop their psychic abilities and all that good stuff. She's the author of Seeing More Than Clouds in Your Coffee, Stories of a Psychic Medium in New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, our show tonight, as always, is commercial free. So sit back, relax, put your feet up, and have a drink on us. And we'll, you know, hopefully we'll learn a thing or two. And tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen, also, it's research and information purposes only. So Kathy's not going to be doing any readings, but your questions are more than welcome. So yes, please call the show. You're so welcome to call. The number to call if you have questions for our esteemed guest is 1-888-627-6008. Okay, so with all of that said, Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Roman.
You are so welcome. It's a pleasure to see you again.
Yes. I always enjoy doing these shows.
Hey, you're a pro at it already, along with a couple of other mediums like Renee Buck, Joanne Gerber, Bobby Allison, and you have the distinguished, you've been on the show the fourth time. All of four of you have been on the show four times already.
Since
I've been hosting. Yeah.
Those are statistics. I didn't know.
I figured I'd do a little bit of statistics just before the show, you know. You know how I know is because every time I interview a guest, I prepare a Word file. And then I save it. So, and this time it's got a four after your name. So this is your fourth time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure every time. I enjoy speaking with you.
Well, likewise, same thing. Thank you for coming. And so tell us a little bit about, we're going to start off just a little bit about your practice. You book people online, and you know what? I forgot to mention what your website was. Can you share what your website is?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I'm actually authored two books. One is Sing More Than Clouds in Your Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the other is And She Danced by the Light of the Moon. And both of those are available on my website. My
okay.
website is www.dreamcentralstation.com.
Dreamcentralstation.com, folks. So if you want to get a booking with Kathy, and how far are you booked in advance? Like if somebody were to
I think the calendar is kind of linked to the booking mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's usually 3 weeks out or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And how many, like, do you do several readings in a day, or like how much?
I work full time as a nurse still.
Mm-hmm.
So all of my readings are booked for the evening, the week, and on the weekends, you know, day and evening on the weekends.
Right.
And 100% of my readings are done online.
Okay.
And that was actually generated during COVID.
Yeah.
Because so many people were staying at home. So now when they book, they automatically get 30 minutes or an hour on Zoom. And at the end of the Zoom, I email them the reading so they
Oh,
don't have to
nice.
take notes for the whole time, you know?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
So
great
that's
idea.
perfect for them. They can save it, they can, share it. The only thing that I don't record is I offer a 15-minute reading, which is $40, and that's 100% donated to Sergeant Eddie Ryan. And Sergeant Eddie Ryan is a Marine Scout sniper who got shot twice in the head by friendly fire when I was in Iraq on April 13, 2005. So Sergeant Ryan has been in a wheelchair for the last 20 years.
Right.
So the family really appreciates every little bit they can get. And I actually have I've raised money through a motorcycle charity for him. But it's really amazing how many people say they're so appreciative that I do that for Sergeant Ryan, because sometimes people don't have the time for 30 minutes or an hour, or they just
Right.
have one or two or three questions pressing about their job or about their relationship or about an actual problem they're going through.
Oh,
And
okay.
there's a yeah, because the psychic reading for 15 minutes, that's 100% goes to Sergeant Ryan.
Right,
People
right,
like the
right.
donation part of it, but they also like the idea that they get to pick three questions, one or two or three questions,
Yeah.
or they
And you can
say, I
focus
don't
on that.
really know what you're
Yeah.
about.
Now, do
And
you
then
also
say,
do
I kind of want to sample you for 15 minutes, And then most of the people that do the 15-minute reading do come back and they book a longer reading, but they really like the idea that I'm donating that, original
Yeah.
$40 to Sergeant Ryan.
Of course, of
So,
course.
that's really very helpful. And
Now, do you do mediumship readings in those 15 minutes as well, if they want?
no, I do not. It's only strictly psychic.
Okay.
Because I really prepare for all of my readings. And before I do all of my readings, I do a meditation. And that meditation is very important for me. It's just an
Right.
individual meditation per reading. And it's interesting because, maybe six times a year, I'll go out and I'll do a group. Sometimes it's a psychic party, sometimes it's a gallery. Even when I do that, I do a meditation before I leave for that event. It's the best way
Right.
for me to be able to communicate, but also for me to just ground myself and to be open to the
Right.
spirit world,
Just like next week, you're going to be doing readings here on the show, correct? With
Yes,
Jill.
yeah. I'll be
Yeah.
on with Jill Peretta. And that's always an interesting show. You have to be able to deliver the readings very fast.
Yeah, and Joel's a super cool guy. He's one of the
Very
best. I
fast.
love
Yeah,
him. He's
I've been
great.
on Coast to Coast with George Norrie twice.
Wow.
And that's also the same. We don't want them to say anything. So they just say, hi, my name is, Fran. I'm from
Yeah.
Florida. And then we just deliver the information. Yeah. And I'm
No.
very, Roman, when I do my readings, the 30 minutes in the hour, I'm very strict with how I do my readings. I always tell the person I'm reading for that I will deliver information and I will say, does this make sense? I just want them to say yes or no. I want a majority of the reading to come from me. And then I have 10 minutes or 15 minutes or less to, follow back up and say, let's just do a recap, or do you have any questions on something that I didn't touch on? I do not
Gotcha.
take the name of a loved one, and I do not do that. That to me is more like, we don't do that. I have to be able to identify with the spirit as they present themselves to
Right.
me.
Yep.
That to me is really important. When you're out and about and people tell you things, they tell you about their experiences, and I always say, like, I only know the way I work, and I feel comfortable the way I work. And you really have to be true to yourself. People do things all different ways, and
Oh yeah, and every medium's different. You guys, everyone
yeah,
has their own
exactly.
modus operandi. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
But I
And
know in the
it's
Forever Family Foundation, what sets us apart from other mediums is that we're evidential mediums. And that's
right.
really the piece that is so special, because evidential mediums is weighed very heavily when you walk into a place like Arthur Findlay, because the British really take a lot of that to heart. Like, they're very pure on the readings to make sure they come through evidence of spirit. So, like, even when I was delivering messages at Arthur Findlay, they really want you to be able to discern, the relationship of the person. They really want you to discern, kind of, certain facts about the person.
How
It
long
could
were
be
you at
like,
Arthur Findlay? How long were you there?
I went there twice, and both times I worked with Simone Key, and she was a very long-standing tutor of theirs. And I really enjoyed working with her. I've actually had her on my radio show, but her style is very specific. She really wants to make sure that you deliver the information as you get it. And it has to really, be in a not a certain order, but you have to be able to deliver information that's really very truthful to that person's life. Most importantly, their personality. When you capture that personality of a person, when you capture, maybe they really did have a difficult time, with health conditions, or they had a very difficult time at their job. A lot of times people say, like, what do you remember most about, Uncle so and so? It's so funny when you talk to people just in normal conversations. They're like, oh my God, he was such a hard worker. Or even when I think of my uncle, when I was a little girl, I was maybe 7 or 8, and he put his hands out for me to dance with me in the kitchen. And I went to grab his hands and I said, oh, I said, what's on your hands? He worked in a printing press, in Brooklyn, and he had the coloring of that on his fingers, and as a 7 or 8 year old, I was like, oh, what's on your fingers, and I remember him saying, that's part of my work, so we danced around the kitchen. But that would be evidence of spirit. If someone came through saying they worked with their hands, I see like coloring on the hand, or I see like blackness on the hand, that would be a completely true example of evidence of spirit,
Absolutely.
because in all of my years, even in the military, I never met anyone with ink on their hands except for my uncle. So that's a perfect example,
It is a perfect example. So you know what? I'm curious, because I've heard of this Arthur Findlay school through with other mediums have studied there, and it's world famous. Tell us a bit about the school. I know it's a little bit off the topic, but I'm more curious than anything. Like, is it a university campus? Is it just one building? What city is it located? Is it a big place? Is it a small
Well,
place?
I have a very individual reason why I went there. I studied with James von Prague for a week, and for a week with about 100 people. And the last day he said, who wants to get up and do a reading? And the room had 100 people in it. So, I raised my hand. I don't know what possessed me. I got up to the front of the room and I delivered a reading. And one of the girls sitting in my area picked up my camera, not a cell phone, but a real camera, and she recorded it. And her name was Siri Bernstein. And
Oh
she
yeah, I
had
know Siri.
Exactly.
She's
Well,
as
at the
red as they
time,
get. She's such a person.
let me tell you, at the time, I didn't know about the Forever Family, okay? And when I delivered the message at the end of that, James said, if you want to do a reading, that's the way you do a reading. And I was like so impressed, So I walked back to my chair and Siri hands me my camera. And I said, thank you. I thought she was just holding it so no one would steal it or something, And she said, I recorded that. And I said, you did. And she said, yeah, that's a really big compliment. So I had asked, James, could I use that? And he said, no, you're not allowed to use that.
Oh.
And I was friends with Suzanne Northrup, who's like
Okay.
a, a pioneer in this field. She's been doing this work since the late 60s, early 70s. And I said, Suzanne, I have this, a video I want to show you. She looked at it and she said, you need to send that on to John Holland. He spent more than 6 months at Arthur Findlay. And she said they really would be able to evaluate you the best way. So I told my dad, Suzanne wants me to go see, Arthur Findlay, and she wants me to send this over to this guy, John Holland. My father didn't know the players, My father was a Roman Catholic, real strict, And he said, well, I don't know about this. See what this guy says. John Holland sent an email and said, you need to go to Arthur Findlay. So I said, Dad, they think I need to go. My father said, well, you need to go because I don't want any family member of mine being called a charlatan. And I said, okay, So I went over there and you have to fly into London and then you have to take on a very fast train over to a town called Stansted, England. And when you get into town, you have to take a cab or like a ride share, to the college. And when I was there, I think the first time I went there was probably around 2009. The cab driver was a nervous wreck. He's like, oh, driving, I have to go to this place. They were very spooked out. Like all the cab drivers were very spooked out.
Really?
And yeah, and I was like, oh my God, like, why is he spooked out? But of course, I'm coming from New York City. So, like, I'm not spooked by anything, right? Then we pull up and I see what it looks like. And I'm like, oh, okay, I see why you're
Oh,
scared.
so is it a creepy looking building like
Yes, it
you
looks
would see
like
on Wednesday Addams?
Hogwarts. Yeah, no, Hogsworth. It looks
Okay,
like Harry
Hogsworth.
Potter. Yeah. So,
Wow.
but let me tell you, serene, peaceful, beautiful. They have horses on their property. They have rose garden. They have like an amazing inside. I mean, you think you walked back, 150 years ago. I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah. So that was my first session, 1 week with Simone. And a couple of years later, I went back to work with Simone again for another week. But between those two times, Suzanne said, it's great that you went over there. So when I came back from the first trip to Arthur Findlay, I said, Dad, the Brits say I can do this, like I'm not a charlatan. And my father said, what do the Americans think? I'm not satisfied. So I went back to Suzanne, and Suzanne was like, well, this is group of Long Island. I'm part of the Forever Family Foundation. But, she was flat out serious. She was like, they don't take everyone. It's very difficult to get in. Everybody does this based on their own merit. Nobody gets, waved in or anything. And I said, well, I'm going to try it. And I can't remember exactly. It may have been like 2012. But at the time of the testing, it was done by Skype, not even Zoom.
Oh yeah,
So,
Skype, yeah.
and it took more than a year. So in 2012, they contacted me and they said, you need to do a phone interview. And then you had to fill out, like, I don't know if it was 8 pages or 12 pages. It was a lot of documents, And I was honest with everything. I was in the military at the time. I told them that I was a witch, that I worked in Salem. I said, listen, if they don't want me, they're not going to want me and whatever. I'm not going to, hide anything. You can Google it all, And then I got contacted in March of 2013. And they said the way the testing was back then, you had to do like a phone call. And one person says hello. And that was it. You just had to give a whole bunch of information. And then the person says goodbye and hangs up. And then I had to go through Skype, on Skype for 10 or 15 minutes, then off Skype for 10 or 15 minutes for about four or five different people. And they would just look at you. They wouldn't say yes, no, or anything. They were just looking at you. And, you just say whatever you say. And then at the end of it, someone comes on and says, if you pay, I should get a letter in the mail. So I remember getting off of that, and it was hours long. I mean, 4 or 5 hours doing all this back and forth. I
Yep.
called my dad and I said, "Hey, I gave it my best shot. I don't know anything about this. We'll see." And I said, "I have to take it out of my head. It's one of those just control,
Yep.
2 or 3 weeks later, I got a letter in the mail that said I was accepted. The first phone call, Roman, was to my dad. And
Yeah, for
I
sure.
said, "Dad, the Americans say that I can do this. So are you okay with this?" And my book was coming out. That was this, right around the same time that my book, Seeing More Than Clouds in Your Coffee, came out. And once, Forever Family Foundation certified me, I think in my dad's mind, he was open to reading the book. And it was important for me to have him read that book because he had a cat that he was so close to. I mean, he had this very tiny little kitten that he nursed to a very big cat,
Oh, yeah.
and it had a sudden passing. And burying that cat was more emotional than, family members passing.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. It's, some people act like that, for sure.
it was I incredible. And I wrote about that in the book, really without him knowing it, So for him to read that and read about the chapter of him burying Felix, he was so touched by that. And I remember him saying, like, "I don't know what you do," because he would see me as a little girl have these dreams, say, "Dad, I had this dream," and he would be like, "I don't want to hear it. We don't do that. We're Roman Catholic, all that."
Right, yeah.
After he read the book, he said, "I have to be honest with you. I don't know what you do. I don't know how you do it, but I know that you're helping people." And when he said that, I had so much peace because he knew in all my other occupations in the army, I helped people, in Iraq, in nursing,
Yep.
you help people. So why would this be any different? It's
Yeah,
just,
exactly.
it's amazing. Yeah. So Arthur Findlay, I recommend it. Not everyone is at a high level. I happen to go over there and they put you in a level. And I have a funny story about that because I thought I was going to be kind of in the bottom class and they give you a roommate. So my roommate said, "Go downstairs and see what class you're on." And I came back and I said, "Oh, wow." I said, "There's nine people on my list. I must be at the bottom of the class." And she said, No. She says, "I'm going to come down and look with you." She said, "I've been into school many times." She said, "I'm a transhealer." So she looked at the list and she looked at me and she said, "I'm on the same list as you." And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Here I am calling her at the bottom of the..." And
Oh
she
boy.
said, "We're on the top class." And
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, wow. Thank gosh, But
Now,
but
does
that's
Arthur
my
Findlay, do they take like newbies off the street that are, let's
they
say,
do.
interested?
Absolutely. Yeah. They have a very beginner class and they have very different courses on their website. One of them is like, I don't know, the beginning of mediumship. Other ones are more like platform. Platform classes are the ones that, Simone used to really do because they go over how to kind of work in public. One of the things that, was critiqued to me is because I'm New York, so I'm like with my hands, and
Yep.
in England, you don't see a lot of hands moving around, right?
Oh,
Usually you
that's
see
true.
people,
Yeah. They shrug their
so
shoulders
I
there.
exactly, you have to kind of like not be so animated and all of that. So,
Yeah.
a lot of that, a lot of that for me was very helpful. But also in the higher classes, they really want to make sure that you're really feeling the ability of not seeing someone. So in one of the exercises, Roman, we were actually blindfolded. So they had the other students sitting around us, like in a half moon circle. And the medium that had to deliver the messages were blindfolded because a lot of people say, "What's the purpose of that?" Well,
Whole reading.
sometimes when you give stuff, right, you see a face or you see a
Yep,
head
facial
turn, or
expressions, yep.
yeah. So that was one of them where we were blindfolded.
Gotcha.
And everyone in the circle had to raise their hand. if they could identify. And the more information you deliver, hands will be dropping because they no longer fit the criteria for their person. Yeah.
Very nice, very nice. It reminds me of this joke, and it's not. I'll tell it as clean as possible. This guy went to a psychic symposium, and the speaker was saying, "All right, how many of you have seen a ghost?" And there's like 500 people in the audience, and almost all the hands went up. Right? All right, how many of you have touched a ghost, like, or have spoken to a ghost? Half the hands go down. It's about 250, and then he says, "Well, how many of you have like touched the ghost?" And there's about maybe 10, 15 hands out of 500. All right, how many of you have made love to a ghost? And there's this one hand that stands up, right? And so the speaker says, "You made love to a ghost?" And the person said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said goat."
Oh,
Okay. Sorry, my bad joke of the day.
wow.
Okay,
Yeah.
sorry about that. But I it just sometimes you gotta, I gotta get that out of my system. But
Yeah,
so you so they
humor.
would take they would take people from just newbies that
Yeah, I would
so they believe
recommend that.
anybody can be a medium if you practice at it enough, that kind of thing.
Well, the school is very particular and they have a website that actually describes their courses. And there are some courses that I would recommend if someone is really not sure, like what direction they want to go into, because they have a whole healing program. They call it trans healing. Some people, just like my roommate, like I mentioned to you, she did their whole trans program. Which was different than the route that I chose to go in. A lot of people that have gotten involved in early on with Reiki choose to do a trance program because trance is kind of similar to Reiki, where they're actually communicating with spirit, but they're offering healing to someone. And so it's very big in the UK.
Is this with the chakras and all of that?
Well, yeah, but it's really like what I would consider hands-on healing, which is like another term for Reiki, but it's really providing healing. And I think mediumship is healing. You deliver a communicative message and you deliver evidence of spirit, that's healing in itself. And I'm always very, very clear, with everyone that I read for, that I'm a certified grief educator through Dr. David Kessler's program, which is on the grief.com website. And, grief education is one thing, grief therapy is another. When someone books a reading with me, they're booking a reading with me, either psychic or mediumship or a combination. Getting a reading, is never a replacement for actual grief therapy. And, there's so many different ways that, people lose loved ones. Sometimes it's through illness, sometimes through tragedy. And therapy, individual, group, it depends upon what is best for that person. The only person that knows what's best for them is that person. And the thing that I talk a lot about, David Kessler, is because he specializes in individual grief and he separates it by group. So you can get in on like a live group for loss of a spouse. Everyone that's in that group has lost a spouse. You can get in a different group that has loss of a child. Everyone in that group has lost a child. And we're very similar to that with Forever Family. We have certain grief retreats that specialize with just loss of a child.
Well, that's how Bob and friends started the whole thing, is through the loss
Exactly.
of their child daily,
Exactly.
and that's what brought
Exactly.
me to Forever Family, loss of my child.
Yes, exactly. So
It
you're probably
changes you.
familiar with David Kessler. Yeah.
No,
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I always say that because we get excited and it's so great to hear from our loved ones, but the actual grief work is something we have to do. And that's different than being a receiver of a message. And grief work is really hard, We're
It
gonna
is.
grieve our loved ones for the rest of our life
Yeah, it
because
never
we
goes
love
away.
them.
Never
Yeah,
goes away.
never, no. And just like you wouldn't want your love to go away, right? You want to
Yep.
love them for the rest of your life. So why wouldn't you grieve them for the rest of your life?
Right. You would have to, in order to not to grieve them, you would have to hate them or something, like, which is impossible, you know?
Yeah. Well,
It's
that's why the love and the grief is so side by side for me. It is really side by side. And I think, and it's true, you brought up a very, very important word, and that word is hate, because it's a very hard word, and it's a four-letter word, right? And a love is a four-letter word too, right? There's so many things, and I do a lot of work with people that struggle with addiction, okay? Either their family member had addiction or they have addiction themselves. And it could be anything. It could be drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, anything. And working with someone who has an addictive personality and who is highly addictive is really, really hard. And most family members say, I hate when they do this. I hate when they do that. When that person, and it's usually with that, unfortunately, usually with that, category of people, usually they die suddenly. Because of whatever they're involved in. And the hate becomes guilt. Then they feel guilty. I'm so sorry, that I hated them for so long. They weren't really hating them. They were hating the illness, not the person. And that's why, there's so many, I call it a roller coaster. Grief is nothing but a roller coaster. There's times that you're really like, and then you're down again. It's just a roller coaster.
Absolutely. The human psyche is such a complicated thing. Hate is not the opposite of love. The opposite of love is fear. That would be the complete opposite of love is fear. Hate is something that you would attribute. I think it's a construct. Like, for example, when I'm sitting at a red light, as I'm getting older and becoming an old cranky old man, I start staring, worrying, this is such a long light. It's like the light doesn't care that I'm saying it. It's not changing anything by me saying that, but cursing at the light makes me feel better. It's just it's crazy, but you do yourself therapy where you can,
Yeah, exactly.
long as
But
no one else is in the
but
car.
that's true though. But what you said is so true. And when we do work in grief, when someone suddenly passes, then the parent, especially in my experience, starts having fear of the other children.
Interesting.
And I
Interesting.
see that very, very often because they didn't see that coming. And now they have, two or three other children. And now they're like, I don't want that to happen again. So they start thinking of stuff they never thought of before. And
Yeah, it's crazy.
that's based on the word you just said, Roman. That's fear.
Absolutely. And also another thing that creeps into the psyche and stops you from becoming your full potential is ego, right? Ego is definitely something, and I'm sure they teach that at Arthur Findlay, to let go of the ego and try to, live in the now and don't listen to that voice inside your head and all that kind of stuff, because that is really, that's what really stops you from achieving everything that you can possibly achieve, really.
That's so true, though. But ego as a medium is very, very important because when we receive messages, like whatever I receive, whatever I see, because I'm clairvoyant, and whatever I hear, because I'm clairaudient, is what I repeat. So I always give spirit credit. Like every once in a while, they'll give me something. I'm like, wow, I'm like blown away with how completely detailed they are. And I'm like, someone's like, wow, that's like, how did you get that? I'm like, I didn't get it. They gave it to me. Like, I always give spirit credit because they're the ones giving the reading. I'm just translating it. I'm just the repeater. I'm just the microphone for them. But the other side, spirit world, works so hard to let us know that they really haven't left us. And a lot of times it comes through symbols, it comes through signs. Sometimes it comes through a visitation. There's so
Yeah.
many different ways, but they really have not left us. And when I do a reading and I bring up something and they're like, yeah, but they passed before that happened. Like when I said, oh, they're excited about the new baby. And they're like, well, they didn't even know she was pregnant. They died before the girl got pregnant. And I'm like, they see it now. And that's the piece of it that I like, because it proves that their last living day is not their last seeing day. And if they were here in our living life with us, they would be excited about that baby on the
Of
way,
course,
for
yeah.
the baby. Yeah, exactly.
So what do spirits do? Like, do they spend some of their time watching over us, some of the time on cloud nine or in heaven or
Roman, almost, if I did 100% of my readings, right, I would have to tell you 65% of the people I read for ask me that exact same question. And I don't have an answer because I've been able to do this since I was a little girl. And when they're in my presence, it's because I'm doing the reading. I don't see them, I don't see them saying, oh, I'm going to a school or I'm going to a job. Never. Even as a child, they just show me them and they're like, I'm here for her. I'm here for him. This is what happened to me. So I do a lot of crime cases, and a lot of times they'll come through and they'll show me, like, the double yellow lines in the street or whatever. Like, they really want to make sure someone knows, that they
Very
know
interesting.
that they had a tragic passing, and maybe it's not solved yet. Maybe they're still collecting info, so that's kind of like the piece of it. It's more that they want, at least with me being a medium, they want to be 100% present in my readings to deliver the information they want to deliver. What they do before or after the reading, they don't share with me. Maybe there's other mediums that are more developed than me. I don't think I'm that developed because they just want to tell me what they want to tell me, and then they're gone, But I
So it's kind of a one-way communication where they're talking to you and you're not really asking them questions.
well, that depends, because during my reading, I'm asking questions all the time.
Oh,
And
okay.
very often, I ask them questions in my head. Very often, I get a personality that says, I'm not telling you that. I'm doing it my way, And when I explain that to the person that's getting the reading, they laugh because they
Because,
go, in living life, that's what they would do. Like, they don't
yeah,
want you, like,
that's the personality coming through right there.
exactly.
Exactly. And that is really good proof because that is, I remember going to a reading and both my grandmothers came through and the medium, she was amazing. Best medium I've ever went to. Her name is, O'Connor, Georgia O'Connor. Anyways, I don't even know if she practices now anymore or anything, but both my grandmothers came through and it's their personalities. Like one was lining up everybody and being strict and blah blah blah, and the other was just hugging and blah blah blah. And it's exactly my grandmothers. They both came, they were both lined up there and acting completely differently. And she nailed both of them, So it's kind of interesting. So do you actually in your profession you're still a nurse, right? You're a certified nurse. Do you use your any of your abilities in your nursing, like when you're no way.
That's one of the things with me. I was in the Army for 30 years. I retired in 2021 as a colonel. And when I am doing one job, I'm doing that job. When I'm a nurse, I'm a nurse. When I was working as a Army officer, I was an Army officer. You can't have these jobs bleed into each other. You just really can't. And I think that having those two professions, plus other hobbies that I'm involved in, like having a radio show and certain hobbies and sports that I do, come in and show themselves in someone's reading. So when, I don't do a lot of health on people, someone calls me and says, I want a psychic reading on my health condition, I don't like doing a lot of that. If I get something, I give it. But I am really a nurse in more than one state. So, I'm working with a license there. So I don't really like to do a lot of that. I will see things in a reading that other mediums will not see. I've been in a combat zone. I've been around a lot of, weapons. I'm very familiar with different kind of rifles and different things like that. If someone's a hunter, very often I'll indicate the person was a hunter. Certain parts of the country that I was sent to because of my military, I'll see, I'll say, oh, this looks like South Carolina to me, or this is what I'm being shown. It's interesting. Sometimes something comes through that I think is military, but it's for a different profession. So, and that's very often happens because they try to show me some of my life so that I'm able to say the right words. Like in a reading, they'll show me getting an award. In the military, you open a very plastic box, and that award will be sitting there in a ribbon format. They'll show me that to say that the person was given an honor, but they show me something that I know to say the word award. It the very they use some of my life so that I'm able to explain it in the clearest way possible.
Gotcha. Wow. So, tell us about your radio show. Tell our listeners about where they can tune in and
Yeah, the radio show is a very interesting show because I use the same format that is for this radio show. So Bob Ginsburg actually referred me to BBS Radio, which is this channel that we're using now. And I have a show on Thursday nights from 5 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. And it's a pre-recorded rock and roll radio show where I have a lot of guys and girls in the music business that are promoting an album or a tour or a book that they're doing. And the show is called Bringing the Darkness to the Light. And the importance of that is a lot of these people are friends of mine. I'm like kind of known in certain aspects of the music industry. And yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of them will come on and they'll talk about what they're doing right now, but every once in a while they'll go back into, when they, were with a different band or they went through a struggle in their life or they, or they had to overcome something that was a family problem, and a lot of these things. I recently had a couple of guys on that were really amazing, stories. I just had on today Keith Roth, who's a famous DJ with Sirius XM. He's also in The Dictators, and he was in Frankenstein 3000, and he has a solo career. And let me tell you, he was very good friends with David Johansen from the New York Dolls. And he talked about his friendship, and he talked about, David ended up passing away. So he had a lot of really genuine stories about knowing the David Johansen, the behind the scenes David Johansen that the rest of us, would have never gotten to see,
And again, with that's nothing to do with medium or psychic, that show. You kind of
Well,
keep it separate,
no,
right?
it's not, but a lot of them bring up psychic experiences in their life. They'll bring up, I had another guy on, David Starr, who's a very well-known blues kind of rock guy. He did an album with John Oates from Daryl Hall and John Oates.
John Oates,
And he had a medical condition. And he was sitting on the couch and he had a pain in his stomach. And he said, I could sit on this couch or I could just get up and go to the hospital. So he got up and went to the hospital and had to have emergency surgery. And he saw two men, one was his grandfather and one was his father, and they were both deceased already. And when he woke up, he said, oh, wow, I felt like it was a visitation, And his grandfather had written a book in 1972, and a year later passed away. And he said, oh, I have to go find that book. And there were very few copies of it. And he shared that book at dinner with John Oates. And 2 days later, John Oates called him up and he said, "We have to make an album on that book." So they
Wow.
made an album on that book and they republished his grandfather's book. And the name of the album is called Beauty and Runes. And let me tell you, it is incredible. And that's the perfect example of how I'm talking about. Oh, tell me about your career. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And he's like, I got to tell you the story about how this album came about. I mean, that is a perfect example of how someone who doesn't think he has any psychic or mediumship qualities and happens to be in the middle of a medical emergency gets a sign from spirit that he has to do all this stuff. He could have just said, oh, that's a dream. But he ended up republishing that book. He ended up making an album with John Oates, and it's incredible,
Yeah,
totally incredible.
that is very, very incredible. So, can you share with like, is there a test that we can perform to ourselves to see if we have a propensity to become medium, or if we have any mediumistic abilities? Is there something that our listeners can, like just give themselves a self-test to see, hey, maybe I should go to Arthur Findlay or somewhere closer, or develop it somehow,
Well, that's hard for me to answer because I've always been this way. So as a little girl, if you went up to someone and said, when was the first day you learned Spanish? If you grew up in a house that spoke
That's
Spanish all
true.
the time, you can't remember, But what I always tell people is if you go to Arthur Findlay or if you pick a medium that does, a Joe Shields in Forever Family, he's, in the Journey Within. He's got a church in New Jersey. They give courses all the time. I know that there's Lori Sheridan, Connie Fasula. There's a few of them that actually give development classes. I don't give development classes, but a few of the mediums do. And there's a certain way they go about identifying, how someone feels that they're picking up spirit. I just have so many jobs right now that I don't have any time for teaching. But I do think that, and I always tell everyone this, my biggest thing since I was little is it always has come through my dreams. So whenever I put my head on the pillow, when I was a little girl and now, even now, I always say, show me what you want me to see, tell me what you want me to hear. And if I wake up in the morning and I have a very clear dream, I write it down. Or if I feel I had a visitation by someone.
That's a really good thing, because you know what? When you're lying
Someone.
there in bed and you just got up out of a dream, like you remember it perfectly. You're still
Yeah.
in it, kind of, And if you're less than a minute later, it is gone. It is vanished. Something that was
Yes.
you were so immersed in, it's completely gone. And that's the thing about consciousness, right? It's so
Yes.
fleeting, and so, I mean, everybody's so aware of it because we're all living it, yet it is the hardest thing to explain. You know what I mean? I mean, but once it's
Yeah.
gone, your body starts rotting. There's no life in it. Once your consciousness is like left your body forever, that's it. There's no life. So it's interesting how that goes, and it goes obviously to somewhere else that the physical sciences cannot define, but mediums are defining it, and same with even quantum physics is kind of delving into that, proving that it's consciousness that dictates reality, not the other way around. You know what I mean? Kind of really interesting. So animals, do they come through in your readings as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and the personality of animals.
The personality and it's very interesting because they show them to me in different ways, And every once in a while I'll see something that's just like, you got to be kidding me. I'll see cattails walking across, just the tails walking across, not the whole cat. And I'm like, oh, they're talking about their cats or whatever. And every once in a while, there's something very particular about an animal. And they'll show me that, that the animal had something different with it, And It's
So
amazing.
when the animals come across, they're coming across as objects. Like this person describes this animal, and it's not you're not listening to the what the animal's saying or whatever, right?
Well, it depends though, because I had a dog not too long ago, and I described the dog in detail, and I started to laugh, and I said, "I'm sorry, but I feel like I'm talking to your dog. Your dog feels like a guy to me." I said, "He's like communicating." And the woman said, "He was like a guy. Like she communicated and she felt that he communicated back." Some dogs, and you could see this if you ever look at like TikTok videos or whatever, people will actually film their dog and they'll be like, "Listen to my dog like bark." But when you listen to it, it doesn't sound like barking. It sounds like, "I love you." It's like,
Oh,
"Oh
I've
my God."
seen those.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And this woman, when I said, "Wow, he sounds like a guy, he's like talking to me like he's a guy. I don't feel like he's like the average dog." And she knew exactly because when she would say to him, "Hey," he would reply. And she heard like a voice in there, not a bark. Like she heard the voice. And that's what I heard.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's
it's funny. It's
that's
very
crazy.
different. That's why certain things in my readings, I'm like so glad I record these things because I have no memory. And that's another thing. Like, Roman, people email me and they say, "Hey, can you remember what you said?" Like, I can't go back. I have no memory. So it's like it's wiped, you know? So that's why I record them. I'm like, I just write back and say, "Please go to your tape," because I can't keep it all in my head. You know, I read for too many people and I have these other jobs and
Absolutely. Now, do you because you experience like us non-mediums, okay, we have to take everything anecdotally. There's no choice. We listen to what the medium says, or we read about it, but it's all like not first-hand experience. As a medium, you have that first-hand communication. So because of that, do you grieve differently from other people, like as a medium, because it's stronger than a belief. It's a knowledge that consciousness continues after physical death, like from firsthand experience through communication, so because of that, when somebody close to you crosses over, is it like, are you like, yeah, I'll see you soon? Or, what is your attitude towards that?
Well, in my second book, And She Danced by the Light of the Moon, I am very detailed. My ex-boyfriend died very tragically, and that was very difficult for many of us. None of us were expecting that, and it was a tragic passing, and he passed with his dog. And I don't think I'm any different than anyone else. I love, my family and friends, the way I would love my family or friends if anyone, didn't think I was a medium. I physically took care of my dad. I moved into his house the last year that he was sick. And that was very difficult for me to do. So it wasn't the idea that I was a nurse. It was the idea of taking care of my dad. You know, I still saw my dad the way I saw him when I was 9 years old. You know, we went fishing and shooting, and, I still was that little girl. So it didn't matter that he was my patient in the house. He was still my dad. So I think I'm pretty normal. I think I grieve
Oh,
people.
I never meant to imply otherwise. I just meant like just
No, I understand that because some people say that. Some people think that it's easier because you believe in the other side that you can kind of let it go faster or quicker. But I don't think I do. I know we're going to see him on the other side,
Yeah.
but I don't want them to go just like anyone
Yeah.
else.
No, that's true. Absolutely. When did you come out with the your book, And She Dances with the By the Light of the Moon? When did that one come out?
The first book came out in 2012 and the second book came out in 2022. So they're 10 years apart from each other.
Okay, 2022. Okay. Yeah, I remember reading your first book a long time ago, but I definitely got to bite into your second book, and I hope
Thank
to get
you.
to do it before you come by next, maybe in a year from
Thank
now. You
you.
know, we can definitely dive into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
So
Well,
yeah, I'll put it.
the reason why that book was made was because people contacted me on social media and they said, we're reading that you were, in the military, and like, how is it possible that you can have a job like that and also, work in Salem and all of
Right.
that, So I thought, it was only appropriate to do more of a biography kind of a book.
Oh, so it's like a biography kind of a book.
It's a
Okay.
little bit like that because
Yeah.
a lot of them kind of want to know,
Yeah. Of
like, how were you
course.
as a little girl or what was your family like and that kind of thing.
Fantastic. Well, guess what? I mean, our time is up. Wasn't that like the
Oh, wow, that was
fastest
so
hour ever?
fast.
I say that
That
at the end of every show.
was
This is the fastest hour ever because it is the fastest hour. It's totally
so fast.
fascinating. So yeah, so Kathy, thank you so much for coming in,
Thank
and
you. Thank you so
I
much.
wish
Yeah.
you all the best and
Thank
success with
you.
I don't have to wish it. You are successful. There's no doubt about
Ah,
it.
thank
So
you.
yeah,
Yeah, I
absolutely.
always tell people to go to my website, dreamcentralstation.com, check out my radio show, which is every Thursday from 5 to 6. You can catch the archives on the website as well. And I have some events coming up. Halloween is a very busy period for me because I go
Yep, of
up in
course.
Salem. So there'll be a lot coming on social media, Instagram. My Instagram name is CatWitchNYC.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank
And
you.
so you said you're going to be in Salem this Halloween?
Yeah, so I'll be up in Salem in October, and definitely we're doing a special event on November 15th with the Shaman
Oh.
and the Showman, which is Charles Rosanet.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, everybody. And thank you so much again, Kathy. And until next time, know that your loved ones are a heartbeat away, as good old friend used to say, very close to my heart. And good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.